This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
That was the worst sounding song. I don't know if you can call it a song. Whatever that was you guys were just doing. Wow. I think we need to have a moment of prayer for the music team here at The Orchard. Yeah, you guys better run. Yeah. Good job, former music team. Guys, I know that was bad. I mean, it was like the drums come in. You think you're gonna hear a good song, right? And next thing you know, like then the bass comes in, or guitar starts doing their own thing, and then the other guitar, and it was like everybody was just like competing with each other, weren't they? It was horrible. No rhythm, no unified melody. I mean, what a mess. Ooh, I'm glad that's over. Aren't you? Yes, I know you are. God, you know, in a way. It reminds me of what this series is all about that we're in called MySpace. We've been taking the series and we've been asking a very pointed question of what are families, what are relationships, what are marriages, what are friendships might look like if we intentionally lived beyond ourselves. And so what we've done is we've taken a few weeks here to talk about how you and I can turn my space into our space. And today I want to talk about a subject that is, my guess is probably challenging for probably all of us here to one degree or another. I want to talk about family. Oh yeah, I want to talk about family. You know, family's an interesting topic, isn't it? What better weekend to talk about it than Thanksgiving weekend, right? Because you've just spent some good quality time with your family, gorging yourself, right? And listening to that one uncle tell the same stories that he tells every year, but he forgets he tells the same ones, right? Yeah. But see, we love our families, don't we? Of course we do. We love them. I mean, in fact, I don't know anyone who doesn't love their family. Well, actually, I do know a few people, but that's kind of their own problem. But anyway, I mean, really, if you think about it, man, I mean, we all have those weird, funky sides to our families, don't we? We all do. I mean, in fact, I don't know anybody who has a normal family. No, I don't know anyone who you could say, well, that's a normal family right there. I mean, there's really no such thing. I'm convinced of that. I mean, none of our families are normal. Yeah, but Scott, you haven't met mine. I mean, dysfunctional with a capital D. Well, hey, congratulations. Welcome to the land of family. Welcome to the club. Because here's the thing. To one degree or another, all of our families are a bit dysfunctional, aren't they? Oh, absolutely. Yet we love them. And we can't imagine what our lives would look like without them. And yet, while for most of us, family, I think, is definitely one of the greatest things, one of the greatest gifts God has given us, I'll tell you what, it can also be one of the most difficult and one of the most challenging aspects of life for so many people. Because, see, the sad reality for so many of our families is that just like the band, just like this, you know, what we heard here a second ago, everyone is on a different page, is on a different wavelength. I mean, so often there's no rhythm, there's no melody, there's no unity. Everybody's sort of in their own little world, focused on their own needs and their own concerns, focused on their own space. And you know, so many times, you know, over here you've got mom and dad who are just trying to figure out how to agree on one thing if they can, you know? And then over here you've got the kids and the young, you know, the teenagers who have their own issues and their own things going on. And before you know it, instead of having a family that is completing and complementing one another, you've got a family that is more about contending and competing with each other. And see, here's what happens to so many of us, and most of you know what I'm talking about here, okay? We fall in love, we get married, right? And immediately, those new complexities suddenly arise in our marriages and our families, don't they? I mean, because think about this. Now, okay, it's not just about me and my side of the family and the way I like to do things. No. Now there's a spouse. Oh, yeah, and along with that spouse comes a whole new other family, right? You've got a whole new family now that's a part of your family, and then the complexities just continue to increase. Because see, for most of us, then what comes next? Children, right? Oh yeah, children. You got little Johnny, little Susie, right? And so now you've got a couple of these little ones who are begging for attention 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And in a way, it's just kind of like, I think the more you live life and the older you get, the more complex our family lives become. And I know that right now probably some of you are sitting there thinking to yourself, listen, that's nothing. Scott, wait till you hear my situation. I mean, you think there are some complexities in the traditional sense of family? Okay, well, try a blended family. Oh yeah, try it, but now that will bring you some complexities. And you know what? You're right. You're right. I mean, there is a whole other set of unique complexities that arise in a blended family situation that those of us who've never experienced that can't even begin to imagine. I mean, just think about all the possible blends. You think Starbucks has a lot of blends. Think about blended families, man. I mean, each family is so unique, so diverse. It's like a fingerprint, man. You know, each one has its lines drawn from its own circumstances and personalities and traditions and issues and all the other things. You know, you might have a widow who's married to a divorced man with children. You might have a single man who marries a divorced woman with kids. Or, as is the case, I know with many of you, some children live with the biological parents and end up visiting only on the weekends or certain times of the year. And then on top of all that, you've got the exes, don't you? Oh, yeah. The ex-wife, the ex-husband. And you know, every once in a while, maybe, you know, in some cases, they're easy to deal with. But for many, there's a constant battle going on between them and their ex-husband, their ex-wife. Look, the combinations are just limitless when it comes to obstacles, I think, that families need to learn how to navigate through in life. And it's especially true when it comes to blended families. And I would guess, in fact, I remember last time I talked on blended families, I asked everyone, how many of you are from a blended family? And I bet you it was close to 60% of the people in the room said, we are from a blended family background, or we currently have a blended family. And so the complexities that arise in blended family situations, I mean, I'll tell you, the combinations, the complexities, the issues, I mean, are just limitless. And yet at the same time, the very thing that presents this unique set of challenges in a blended family, and that while on the one hand has the potential to bring things like competition and complexities, is the exact thing that also has the potential to complement and complete an absolutely beautiful mosaic. And see, that's what God wants. That's what God wants our families to look like. I mean, blended or not blended, God wants all of our families to just be a beautiful blend, a beautiful mix, a beautiful rhythm, not like the one we just heard, a beautiful rhythm that complements and completes one another. And yet, as much as he wants that for your family and for mine, the fact is, there is also an enemy of our lives who would like nothing more than to divide and to split and ultimately to destroy our families. Because, I mean, we're talking about real life stuff here, guys. We're talking about stuff that really happens in so many families, that there is an evil one in this world. You mean there's a devil? Hey, I didn't make that up, okay? That's from the Bible. There is an evil one whose desire is to bring division and schism and destruction into your family. Which is why I think the Bible has so much to say about it. Which is why we take time like this to talk about it. Because I'm telling you, it will help you. And it will help me to lay a strong foundation in our marriages, in your single life, in your blended family, whatever your situation is. It will help us lay the right kind of foundation. I mean, even Jesus said that. In fact, there's a scripture in Luke chapter 6 I want to show you this morning if you have your Bibles. Luke chapter 6, Jesus actually talks about this very thing. Luke chapter 6, let me show you, look on the screens if you want to. Luke chapter 6, verse 47, Jesus says this, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. Now look at that last part of the scripture. This is, I think, very important. It says, when the floodwaters rise and break against the house. You know, isn't it interesting that it doesn't say if the floodwaters rise? It says when they rise. I mean, in other words, Jesus knew that there would be times, there will be things in our lives, there will be challenges, there will be opportunities for the walls of our home to be hit. And sometimes really, really hard. But he also said this. He said, listen, if you'll come to me, if you will listen to what I have to say, if you'll listen to my teaching, and if you will follow it, if you'll live this stuff out in your life, you will be able to withstand those challenges. You will be able to, your family, your marriage, your relationships will remain strong if you do things my way. That's the hope of God. That's the promise of God for you and for me. And so, you know, if I had to guess, I would guess that probably every one of us in here would say, you know what, Scott? I want to have a well-built family. How many of you want to have that? Of course we do. All of us who are married would say, you know what? Yes, I want a well-built marriage because I know those storms are going to come. Those of you who are single, I'm sure you would say, you know what, Scott? I desire a well-built single life or a well-built dating life. And then for those of you who are part of a blended family, my guess is that you too would say, you know what? Yes, I want a well-built blended family. And that's exactly what God says we'll have if we choose to listen to his teachings and step out and obey him. So, of course, the big question is, how do we do that? How do we do that? I mean, how do we as families, and especially as blended families, make sure that our families are well-built? Well, according to what we just read, it begins by going back to the Word of God, going back to the basics of Scripture. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to journey with you a little bit about what God has to say to us about the family. And then what I want to do is take a few minutes to talk about how you and I can make sure that we're not just aware of what God says, but I want to make sure that we can actually apply this stuff to our lives, because doing it is, so what if you know it, right? I mean, the Bible says if you want this to work in your life, you have to do it, you have to obey. So we're going to do that. I'm going to give you a few things in a few minutes, but let's talk about family. Everyone say family. And most of what we're going to talk about today is going to be relevant for any family unit. So whatever your family might look like, but then there's going to be a few things that I've kind of woven in here that I want to talk to specifically to those of you who are in a blended family situation. Now, to understand the concept of family, I think it begins by going all the way back to the scriptures to make sure that we understand what God says about the structure and the authority of our homes and what they should look like. So I want us to go over to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to kind of go into some teaching mode here, and I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians 5, we actually see quite a lot of information here as to what all of this is about and what the role of the husband, what the role of the wife looks like in the family. And I want to show you this. Ephesians chapter 5, the writer Paul begins by talking about the wives. All the wives say, hello. Well, that was nice. That was pretty. All right. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Listen to this. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Now, husbands, okay, before you do what I know you're chicken to do and you wouldn't do anyway, but before you imagine right now nudging your wife to make sure she heard that last part, okay, just so you know, I'm not finished reading yet, okay? Your time's coming in just a second here. In fact, wives, tell you what you can do right now. Just go ahead and nudge your husband and say, pay attention. Go ahead, do it. Just nudge him, say, pay attention. All right. And if he's not here, buy him the CD. If you put it in your computer, you can nix everything but just this one part I'm going to say. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. that's all he said. And then he said amen, and we left. It was weird. Anyway. What, did his wife write that sermon or what? Anyway. Anyway, here's the next part. Okay, so we talked about the wives, now we're talking about the husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Everything he does, speaking of God, everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. Okay, so here you have the Apostle Paul recognizing both roles as being extremely important in the marriage relationship. And here it says that, okay, basically he says, okay, here's what it should look like. First of all, Christ Jesus, okay, is the head over the marriage, but specifically over the husband. And then it says, okay, then it says the husband is the spiritual head of the household and the covering over his wife. And then we see that the role of the wife is to be the husband's helper and his supporter and his counselor and his friend. Now, my guess is that for some of you who maybe heard this for the first time, what we just read might feel awfully uncomfortable to you. And I totally understand that because, see, for one, it certainly goes against what our culture says, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, you bet. In fact, this is such a great example, I think, of in different places in the scripture, you know, where it says, do not be conformed to the world. When I was a kid, you know, people would use that scripture, don't be conformed to the world. You know, and it was like, you know, of course, they would say, see, that's why you shouldn't wear blue jeans in church. You know, and I had no friends that wore who weren't church people that wore suits to church anyway. But anyway, you shouldn't listen to music with a rhythm. That's of the devil. You know, or you know, do not be conformed to the world. But see, what they completely forgot to do is to read the rest of the passage that says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, this is talking about a mindset here. This is, I mean, when you hear things like this, don't be conformed to this world, it's not saying that don't dress like the world dresses. I mean, hey, now if they stop wearing clothes, then yes, you probably should continue to wear clothes. But I mean, how did I get on that? Anyway, this is talking about a mindset. It's talking about a value system. And so the bottom line is this. When we read things like we just read that's a little bit uncomfortable, the bottom line is this. If you are going to follow Jesus, if you are going to do things his way, these are the types of areas that you and I have to be willing to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to follow you because I can see that your way is quite different from the world's way. And I know it's not always easy. In fact, God, sometimes it's downright difficult. But I am going to trust that your way is the best way to live. And so I'm choosing to follow you, not our culture, not what our society says. God, I'm choosing to do what you say. Why? Because again, like we just read a few minutes ago, it's God's way that will bring stability to our families. It's God's way that will bring stability into your marriage relationship, into your family. And see, here's why this is so important, especially for those of you in a blended family situation. Look, in a blended family, as soon as you say, I do, in your newly blended marriage, almost always, a huge, huge, huge question pops up, and it's this question. Okay, now, who is the boss? I mean, who's in charge? I mean, just think about this for a second, okay? And many of you have been here, okay? Think about the single mom, okay, who has been the sole authority figure of her child for several years. And she gets married, and suddenly, according to the scriptures we just read in Ephesians, she changes positions, doesn't she? And so now what? I mean, now, okay, she moves from being the head of the house to being a wife, a helpmate. One who supports and does everything she can to follow the leadership of her husband. So now what does she do? Does she relinquish her position of authority over her child? And if so, I mean, how will her child respond to someone new in that leadership role? Do you see how complex this stuff gets? Or okay, how about the single dad whose kids live with his ex-wife, okay? And because of the short time, and I've heard the story so many times, you know, because of the short time that he gets to spend with his kids, he feels kind of guilty about that, and so he lets them have a little bit more free reign than he probably should. And so he spends most of his time taking them to fun places and doing fun things, and daddy sort of becomes this, you know, sugar daddy, you know what I mean? And he's just kind of a good thing, you know, and to the kids. And suddenly one day, he decides to get married. And he finds himself changing positions from being a, you know, a fun single dad to being the head of this new household. and a full-time husband, a father to his stepchildren. I mean, so how much changes for him? I mean, how does he go from being in full control of all he does, all he spends, all he does, to being accountable now to a wife and kids? I mean, how does it all work? Well, again, it begins by understanding God's plan for authority in the family, which is Christ over the family, specifically over the husband, who carries the gigantic responsibility of leading and covering his wife. And then the wife, who plays the huge role of supporter and counselor and friend. So here's the thing. If this is how God says it should be structured, then what does this look like in our everyday lives? I mean, what does it look like in our families? What does it look like? How about in a blended family? What does that look like? Well, I think, first of all, we have to understand that what we just read here in Ephesians does not mean that the man is above or better than the woman. I think it means we have to understand that it does not mean that the man is superior over the woman. See, a lot of people have trouble with this stuff because the fact is the scripture has been so twisted and has been turned into all kinds of things by a bunch of husbands who are interested in trying to control their families in a negative way. There's a difference in controlling and leading your family. When we say we want to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, it means we want to help them. We want to lead the way for them. We want to help them take steps forward. There's a big difference in that than controlling someone. And so the reason a lot of people have problems is because there are the people who've kind of gone off the deep end. Or there's churches that, you know, churches tend to be pastored by males who are really good at preaching about the woman's role in the marriage, but for some reason forget to talk about the man's role and his responsibility of loving his wife like Christ loves the church. Okay, so I understand why people have trouble grasping this stuff. I really do. Because sure, there's been some people who've gone off the deep end with this, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that we can just sort of cut that part out of the Bible and pretend that it's not there. See, here's what the writer was saying, okay? He was basically saying the role of the husband and the role of the wife are both about, if you think about it, they're both about submitting to one another and to God. And it's about two people playing two very significant roles that will contribute to a healthy, strong family. And I'll tell you, the reason that this is so important, guys, the reason this is so huge for us to grasp is because if God's design is not followed, instead of complementing and completing one another, the husband and the wife will end up contending and competing with each other. And then guess what? That smooth rhythm that started out sounding pretty good and that beautiful melody will all of a sudden eventually come to an end. So how does this play out in our everyday lives? What does it look like? Let's get really practical here this morning. What I want to do is I want to give you a few things to write down. If you have your bulletin, would you take that out? I just want to give you a couple things to write down that I think will really help you, husbands and you wives, as you fulfill your roles in your family. Now, again, most of these are going to apply to everyone who leads a family, but a few of these are very specific. Now, if you're single here, don't check out right now, okay? Don't start writing your grocery list, all right? Because there are some things you're going to, because more than likely, you are going to end up in a family. And I tell you what, if you can learn this stuff now, it will save you so many headaches and problems, won't it? All of us who are married, gosh, don't we all wish we knew more, right, going in? Don't we all wish we knew what we knew now? So anyway, let me give you a couple of these. I'm going to throw these out to you real quick. First and foremost, and I didn't put this in your notes because it's sort of a no-brainer, but I don't want to assume, I guess that would sound kind of insulting. No, it is not, because if you didn't know it, then you're going, what did he just call me? Anyway, first of all, I just want to say this. The most important thing in the relationship is that you're committed to prayer. Because here's the thing, if your communication with God is not open, and it's not in your notes, but just write that down somewhere, is prayer. Because if your communication with God is not there, you can do all these other things, and you might miss God's direction in all these other areas. So first and foremost, there needs to be that prayer life, that prayer walk, okay? But let's jump into these other ones here. Now to your notes, okay? First of all, no matter what issue is at hand, parenting a family requires, again, this is a no-brainer, but it requires, number one, that you talk it through. Oh, man, there's got to be communication. Not just communication with God, but there's got to be communication with one another. And I'm not even going to expound on that much because it really is so obvious that if you were going to clearly establish an order of authority in your home, there has to be communication. All right, the second phrase that I want you to write down is this: close the door. You guys remember that old song, "Shut the door, keep out the devil, shut the door"? Sorry. Flashback. Everyone. All right. Oh, when I was a baby child, shut the door, keep out the devil, good and bad. I don't know the words. Okay, anyway. Close the door. And what I mean by that is that, listen, this is so huge. When there's a disagreement or a discussion about your children, it should always be done behind closed doors. That is such a healthy rule for us in our families. Again, this is wise, I think, for any family, but it's especially, listen, it is especially important for a blended family, because in a blended family, you are already fighting challenges of authority to begin with. So don't add to that. So I want to encourage you to apply the closed door rule in your family. Keep the disagreements about your children behind closed doors, blended or not, okay? Now the next one, this is important. Husbands and wives, listen now. Let me help you hone in here, okay? No matter how much you might disagree with one another, and you're going to disagree, if you're newly married and you don't think you're going to disagree, just give it a little while. We just don't ever fight. We just like just love each other all the time. It's amazing. We haven't married for like 8 months, and we haven't even gotten in a fight ever. Come back and see me in a few months. All right. No matter how much you might disagree with one another about whatever issue is at hand, okay, when it comes to making the final decision, it is so important that you both understand the decision and that you both make a commitment that you will, number three, be in agreement. Be in agreement. I'm telling you, our kids and your kids and mine, they need to see unity and agreement when it comes to our parenting. I'm telling you, if you just agree for the sake of agreeing and you don't talk it through, no matter how much you bury that, it will come back up. It'll show up again. And you know when it'll show up? It'll show up at the stupidest times. Oh, yeah. I call it the Taco Bell fight. Yeah. You're going to Taco Bell. Hey, hon. Going to Taco Bell, you want a burrito? Yeah, just give me one, just steak burrito, but I don't want any sour cream because you know I hate sour cream. Okay, all right, hon, no problem. So we go to Taco Bell where I'm driving through. Hey, I would like 2 burritos, no sour cream. I go home, she bites in the burrito. Guess what? There's sour cream. They forgot, but guess whose fault it is? It's not the guy working at Taco Bell. It's my fault. And all of a sudden, guess what? That burrito goes out of her mouth and onto my face. Yes. And so I walk away going, with a burrito on my face, going, what's her deal? And guess what? It's not the burrito she's mad about. It's all the other stuff that's been buried because you never dealt with it. Stop preaching now, brother. All right. I can feel the spirit of T.D. Jakes coming on me right now. When I start the karate moves, you know it's starting. Anyway, once a decision is made, you need to stand by each other. Yeah, but Scott, what if I feel like my husband's decision is stupid? What? That's impossible. Because we don't. We don't ever make stupid decisions. You know that. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. She's not in here, is she? Okay. Well, hopefully, okay, you can both compromise and come to a unified. That's the best. Look, if every time you could come to a win-win agreement, if you can come to some kind of agreement, that's best. But if not, then wives, listen, according to the scripture we just read, you have to follow, you need to follow the leadership of your husband. But just remember, husbands, you and I, guess what? We answer to God for the direction of our families. So it's in our best interest, husbands, to make sure that we keep our ears open to how he wants us to lead. And let me just say this, wives, if you will support your husband's decision and his leadership, even if you don't agree with it, God will still bless you for recognizing his structure. Now, I just have to say this because I almost always get asked this. I know I get an email, so to avoid the emails, I just want to say this right up front. Does this mean that a woman should stay in the relationship with her husband if he's being abusive? I mean, should she just submit to that? No. Of course not. Absolutely not. That's completely different. What the scripture is talking about here is submitting to the leadership direction that the husband provides for the family. Now, so being in agreement is vital. Let's go to the next one. Another one that's especially important, and that is, especially those of you in blended family situations, listen to this one. Number four, listen to your child. Listen to your child. Parents, again, those of you who are in blended families, this is a huge one. Your children need to know that they have not lost you as a parent. And if you've gotten remarried or maybe you've recently got divorced, man, your children need the assurance that you are still there for them. And one of the best ways you can show them this is by being very intentional about listening to your child. And I would even suggest that the best time to allow your child to express themselves would be at a separate time when only you, the biological parent, is present. That says something huge to your child. And I'll also say this, okay, along these same lines, that whenever a final decision is made, it is so important that you, as the biological parent, that you affirm that decision to your child. That you go out of your way as the biological parent to say, we, your stepfather and I, have decided. We are in agreement. And I'll tell you, that's called team right there. I'll tell you, there's nothing I hate more than when people, I remember some staffing situations one time where, another time, and it wasn't this staff, because they wouldn't be here if, you know, anyway. Just kidding. But anyway, I'll never forget, you know, I've been in environments where, you know, where the pastor makes a decision and the leaders go to their minister group and say, guys, listen, the pastor doesn't want it. Pastor doesn't want it. He just didn't want it. I don't know why. I'll tell you what that does. That corrupts the leadership. That poisons the environment when you do that. And as parents, when you do that kind of thing, it poisons the environment of your home. And so again, I would just say make sure that you go, you know, biological parents, go to your children, affirm the decision to them personally, especially in the beginning, because I'm going to tell you, most of the time, your children will almost always respect their biological parents' word over their step-parents. Okay, which means that one of the worst things you could ever do is to go behind your spouse's back and say, well, just so you know, it wasn't my decision. Don't do that. If you do that, I promise you that your child will never accept the step-parent's authority. And to take this a step further, I think, too, it would be wise, especially in the beginning, that the final word, the final decision, the discipline, the reward, whatever it might be, should be brought to the children by their biological parent, especially in the beginning when all of these relationships are so new to your child. Because here's the thing, the more your kids see that you're unified, and this goes with those of us who are not a blended family, the more your kids see that you are unified in the decision, man, it will build the security. It will show them something that will shape their future. It will help them to be better leaders. It will help them to be better adults as they get into the workforce, as they lead others. Not only that, but it will also help them respond better when you, as the biological parent, might not be around and the step-parent has to step in and discipline. If they see unity, they will know, oh, no good arguing with him because mom's always on his side. It's important. A couple more. One we talked about last week, parents, when it comes to our families, blended or not, it is so important that you and I go out of our way to be consistent. Everyone say that phrase with me. Ready? Be consistent. Now again, don't be afraid to set those boundaries and to enforce them because it is so important that kids understand both the rules and the consequences up front. And I'll tell you, in a blended family, part of the reason this is so important is because when one of the kids break the rules, they need to know up front. Because otherwise, if they break the rule, they're going to feel like you're picking on them if all of a sudden you just, out of the blue, decide to punish them. So decide up front so they know. So you have something to fall back on when something happens. You can fall back and say, now remember, we said this would happen. So I'm not picking on you. This is what we agreed on. Remember. Yes. Quit shaking your head. No. Yes. You remember. Anyway, they need to see consistency. On a practical front, I'm telling you, if our families are going to navigate through these challenging moments, It's going to begin by recognizing God's structure for the family. It's a structure that is all about the husband and the wife complementing and completing one another. And it's by taking that into the everyday experiences of our lives, of our families, as we talk it through with one another, as we close the door, when we say, you know what, we're not going to argue in front of our kids, we're going to close the door. We're going to choose to be in agreement. We're going to be intentional about listening to our child. And, of course, the last one we said was staying consistent. And then I want to give you one more before you go. And this last one's really more of a word of encouragement to those of you who might be a part of a newly blended family. I know several of you here, because I know your situation. You've recently gotten married into a blended family, and you're facing challenges. I want to encourage you in this. Number six, if you'd write this down, give it time. Give it time. They're going to try again, I guess. Give it time. And I'll tell you, I know that this that is one of those things that is so much easier said than done. And I know that it must be so difficult at times to give it time. But I can't tell you how many times I've seen this scenario. Now listen to me, it's so important. A man and a woman spend months and months and months preparing, getting to know each other, preparing for marriage, adjusting to each other, and they get married. And then for some odd reason, they have this expectation that all of the children are ready too. Or they have this expectation that the children will just be able to automatically adjust to this newly blended family. And not only is that completely unrealistic, but very seldom does it ever work that way because it takes time. And as time goes on, and as you and as your spouse follow some of the things I think we've talked about today, and as you continue to pray and open your heart to what God says, and as you base your authority, and as you base that structure on what God says, I tell you, you're going to find that your children and your stepchildren will be able to adjust and be able to accept the discipline and the authority that you need them to accept so that you can, and as a family, can complement and complete one another. And see, here's the thing, okay? Because of the character of God, and see, because God is always about taking what might seem negative on the surface and somehow finding ways to make it right. God redeems things, doesn't he? He redeems it. I have to believe that God's idea of a blended family is one that takes all of the unique personalities and the different flavors and even the dysfunctions and all of the weird ways that people think and do things and all of that, and that by his grace and by his power in our lives, and specifically in our families, I have to believe that God takes all of that and creates a beautiful, beautiful blend, a beautiful mosaic, a family that truly, truly complements and completes one another. That's God's idea. And you might say, well, Scott, how do you know that? Well, I know that because when I look out across this room, it's what I see. And it's what I see when I open up the pages of the Bible. And when I look at history, when I look at how many billions and billions of people from the beginning of time, all from unique and different backgrounds, all with their own issues and sins and dysfunctions, and how God, the ultimate Father, sent his only Son, Jesus, to die for the sins of this world. And how because of that, God has become the father of the largest blended family to ever exist. And I'm talking about the family of God, you and me, along with billions and billions of others who have made a decision in their heart that the way of Jesus is truly the best way to live. And I'll tell you, what unites us together is not that we all look the same or that we all sound the same or that we believe every detail of Scripture exactly the same. What unites us together is a rhythm, a song. And it's the song of the redeemed. And it's a song that declares that the very thing that God gives all of us, regardless of who we are, that very thing is the unconditional love of God. And it's that love that unites us and that gives us something in common as fellow brothers, as fellow sisters in Christ. And it's his love that unites on a much closer level, your family and mine. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray this morning. God, this morning we want to thank you so much. God, that you are a God who not only talks to us and speaks to us about your ways, but God, you show us and you demonstrate to us. And God, there's so much in your word that talks to us as families and that teaches us how to build that foundation. And God, I know that you care about families. I know you care about every family, including blended families. And God, even those unique challenges and those unique issues that arise from blended families, you care about those things. God, thank you that you are the father of the largest blended family to ever exist. And that you've brought together people from all walks of life, all races, all nationalities, all places of life, the rich, the poor. God, all of us who were born sinners, and that you, through your blood, have redeemed us. God, I think of that scripture where you tell us that to all who believe in you and accept you, you give us the right to become your children. God, thank you for that. Thank you for adopting us and making us your own. And thank you that we as a community can join together and we can sing these songs of praise and we can truly sing. And we can lift up that melody to you, God, that you receive from us and that you live in and that you, God, so desire that we flow in at all times. God, I want to take a moment. I want to pray for the families here today. God, whatever the situation is, God, whether it's a blended family or not, God, whatever the issues might be that the families in here are experiencing right now, God, I pray that you would guide and direct those who are leading these families. God, we really, really need your help. God, we need your power. We need your strength. And God, you've told us that it doesn't just come just by praying. It comes by taking your word and obeying it and following it. And so we purpose to do that today. And God, we thank you for that. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.